Good morning, Upstate. Long time no talk. This is the Tara Show. I am your guest host, Bill Frady. Ingalls Advantage Talk line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. First things first, I rarely get to sub for Tara when El Presidente's in the building. El Presidente?
Good morning, General.
I've got a couple of questions, El Presidente. I'm looking for a little vindication in life, okay? I have a theory. My theory is that American society will collapse due to, and not necessarily in descending order, but it's going to collapse due to MTV, smartphones, and social media.
Well, I think MTV is pretty much out of the picture at this point.
Well, it is now, but I mean, I remember.
It was the foundation.
Yes, it was the beginning of the beginning.
Yeah.
Which was the beginning of the end. Thoroughly, I'm confusing myself now. Anyway, have you noticed that when you go out and about, that we're beginning to forget how to speak to each other?
Yeah, that's very true. People have got their noses in their smartphones many times,
right?
Whether they're walking about or whether they're still in their vehicle.
And I almost believe that this is what leads us to this whole, I think when you look at Antifa today, that is the natural extension of not knowing how to talk to each other.
Yeah, that's I think there's something to that theory there.
Here's the other thing, and I think you should join me in this one, because I have decided to embrace some of these leftist notions. Like, I've decided to be age fluid.
Age fluid, yes.
Now, yeah. Everybody looks at me, and I'm 57 years old, and, you know.
Well, you wear it well, young man.
Sure, thanks. But I've decided to be 27 years old.
Okay, all right.
And years from now, like, in if I can make it, they tell us, they don't tell us. I have read that if we can make it to 2050, that we will essentially become immortal, because by then the nano machines will be able to be injected into our fourth point of contact, and we can just heal.
Yeah, I've been reading those fake news reports for years now.
Those are fake news?
I think so.
This is not going to happen.
I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm not going to be able to climb Mount Everest at 150.
I don't think so.
Goodness gracious.
As much confidence as I have in your capabilities in many areas, I just think that's a little bit beyond reason here.
Now I'm going to be depressed, and I've still got 4 hours to go. So you don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, I've still decided to be age fluid. So if I do live to 2050, I'm going to die. I want to be in the 27 club.
Okay.
I'm just going to be 27 from here on out.
Because as we know, only the good die young.
And age fluid.
Yes.
Age fluid. If I could wake up tomorrow and say, I have decided that I want to self-identify as a fire hydrant, then I should be able to be age fluid.
Okay.
Should I not?
Well, you know, as long as you're not the fire hydrant that's on my corner where my house is on fire.
And I will, you know, because I'm now gender fluid,
okay,
as a fire hydrant, then I also will be, I'll be able to decide which side of the batter's box I'm swinging from on that particular day.
All right.
But I'm just I'm trying to have empathy.
Right.
So that I can understand the insanity.
Yeah, trying to get to know the enemy, I guess, is what you're saying.
Well, I hope it doesn't go that far,
because the
problem with the whole enemy adversary thing is that all of the leftists sit around and go, why do you have to have a gun? And I'm just staring back at them going, because you think you're going to clock me because you're angry at my political position.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's not the way that works.
No.
So I hope that they don't regard me as an enemy. I know they do.
Yeah.
They probably regard you as an enemy, and Ghost Rider here is an enemy. Everybody's an enemy if you don't have their opinion, but at the same time, I hope they don't feel like that, because that would turn out bad for
them.
Well,
I'm only like an animal. I am only dangerous when cornered.
Yeah, but they're trying to corner us every time we turn around.
That's my point.
Lee Rogers, do you believe in gender fluidity? No.
Nope, sorry.
Do you believe that Barack Obama was the savior? No. Do you believe anything they ask you, if you don't fall in line with their way of thinking? And then let's look at what has happened to some of the leftists out there, like fellow radio colleague Garrison Keillor.
Yeah.
He got out there and he put his hand on the back of a female in the hashtag Me Too era.
Yeah.
And there's nothing of him and at the public radio station out of Minnesota where he operated for decades.
Well, see, his problem was that he was not at a White House press conference with a microphone.
Oh.
Had he done that, his contact, unwanted contact with a female would have been perfectly excusable and back lauded.
Well, but that's because that was a Trump intern. Not everybody's a Trump intern. So
that's true.
If you're just somebody, we don't even know who Garrison Keillor offended. He put his hand on somebody's back, and now there's no podcast of Garrison Keillor. Yeah. There's no reruns of Garrison Keillor. He was fired, ceremoniously dumped, all this other stuff. He was the Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah.
I didn't believe, I didn't.
He's now Prairie Home Alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Alone on the Prairie Home.
Yes.
Interestingly enough, the guy who put my garage door up is his brother-in-law.
Really?
Yeah. And he was telling me about him, and this was prior to all this stuff happening. And I like him as a radio guy because he's a yarn.
He's very talented.
But
yes.
I mean, in the leftist world, if you're a leftist, it's bad if you go off the reservation.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Definitely.
I mean, Anthony Weiner made Hillary Clinton look bad, and look where he's ended up. Well, so
she didn't need a whole lot of help, but anyway.
Neither did Anthony Weiner.
No, that's true.
Carlos Danger.
Yes.
So, anyway, I'm just sitting here trying to, you know.
Well, I hope that your age and gender solidifies, because the fluidity issue I just don't think works too well.
I'm fairly sure about the gender part of it, but the age fluidity thing I could very easily embrace.
Yes, you could be called over to the fluid side.
Yes, if I'm like in my 80s going, who's the hip-hop guy that just, that all of you homies like, you know, that would be cool.
I can just hear that now.
The thing is, though, what these kids don't understand, and I'm gonna burst your bubble, children, as you're out there right now. Some of you that are 20 something, and you're listening to me saying, "Oh my God, he's ancient." You'll be here in the blink of an eye.
Yes, it will.
The blink of an eye,
it happens to the best of us.
You, Ghost Rider, you'll be here in the blink of an eye.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm already on the path.
What are you, like in your 30s?
That is a good guess. Until very recently, I was in my 30s.
Oh, okay.
In May, I had a birthday that ended in a 0 and begins with a 4.
Okay.
So,
you know, just read one of these magazines where the aging hipsters are, because like 60 is the new 30.
Although I have had the experience that, you know, when you're 30, you know, in your 30s, you're like, man, I can still hang out with 20-year-olds. I can still be 20. And then you hang out with some 20-year-olds, and you're like, nope, I'm 30.
You neither can nor won't to. At
no,
that stage.
Exactly. That's kind of my point. It's there's no way to hang in that regard.
When I go places, like I'll get like change back, and it'll be $5, and I'll quote trading places when Ezra gets his $5 bonus from Ralph Bellamy. And he's like, $5, maybe I'll go to the movies by myself. And the kids will be looking at me like, what's that from? I'll be like, or if I'm in the Van store and I buy the checkered slip-ons, I'll be like, these are just like Spicoli.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, what's a Spicoli?
Ooh, is that a musical instrument?
Yeah, what's a Spicoli? So, anyway, all right, all of the musings on life are out of the way. Thank you, El Presidente. We'll be right back. I always love looking out at Woodruff Road when there's only pandelirium happening on it like it is this time of morning. I love it. It's my treasure. Good morning, Upstate. This is the Tara Show. I am your guest host, Bill Frady. The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. On the text line, where is Tara? Is she okay? Tara is fine. She has a family matter she's taking care of today. She'll be back here in the saddle, slinging it like she does, like she did yesterday, and like she will tomorrow. And like,
she actually was not here yesterday. She's been out all week, but she will be back tomorrow.
See, this is where you fail me.
I know,
Ghost Rider.
I know. I should have told you.
I need a full briefing coming in.
We had a different guest host.
I've lost all credibility.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm here to correct the record.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So. Anyway, she'll be back slinging tomorrow, though.
Yes, she will.
That's correct.
That is correct.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yes.
Okay. Fourth point of contact, airborne. Listen, my last duty station was the 101st Airborne, which is air assault, sir, which airborne typically look at air assault, and they refer to us as dopes on ropes. I don't know how I answer that one, But I'm good with it. I'm good with it. And good morning to you, Veronica Knack. So anyway, the 2018 midterm elections. Now, if you want to know what a tsunami looks like, what a wave looks like, all you got to do is go back to 94 when Bill Clinton lost, I think, 53 seats in the House. Or you can go back to 2010 when Barack Obama lost 64 seats in the House and 29 governorships. That's a wave. What we just experienced was not a wave. What we experienced was a bunch of Republicans listening to Bill Kristol, who from here on out, we will refer to him as the cruise director. He's Captain Stubing from here on out. And he was the captain of the ship SS Conservative Inc., where these learned people, and you know, these all these guys are like the apples that fell a long way away from the William Buckley tree, if you will. These guys came out and they said, well, this is not the way conservatism works. This is now the Conservative Inc.'s version of conservative politics is akin to you being there going, listen, I know you come from socioeconomic stressful times while a mugger's kicking the mud out of you, stealing everything you've got. If you've got dentures, you won't be chewing tonight. He's taking everything you've got. He's beating you half to death. And you're there trying to talk him out of it. That's what Conservative Inc. is. And then when they lose gratefully because they want to be invited to all the cocktail parties. So in the 2018 midterms, going in, we had 38 Republicans that were just quitting. They were just quitting. They weren't going to run for re-election. They were just done. And all of, you know, with what I do on a daily basis, all the pro-gun people were calling me up, Bill, we've lost the House. And I'm like, we lost the House run by Paul Ryan, which was not really run by Paul Ryan. He was sitting in the chair. He had the gavel. And he just, you know, I guess he was playing like, you know, Diamond Rush or whatever. One of those phone video games.
Candy Crush.
Was he playing Candy Crush?
Sudoku.
What a sad sack. Anyway,
Words with Friends.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, this is the House that eight times under Obama, they voted to repeal Obamacare. And then they got a president who would sign the repeal of Obamacare. And all of a sudden, after 8 years, we had repeal and replace. With what? You had nothing. Why don't you replace it? I know this. Some people, Bill, this doesn't really exist. We do actually have the closest thing resembling a free market. We could have that. We could deregulate a whole bunch of things in the healthcare industry. I can go anywhere I want, for example, and get insurance to do a bunch of things, to cover a bunch of things, but not healthcare. Healthcare is regulated to that end. So they could deregulate that and fix it up to where I could go shop for it, and then I could go out there and find my best deal. But as it is, these guys took victory and turned it into defeat by just failing to get the votes, and they'd get out there listening to the cruise director, Bill Kristol, as he said, listen, of course, then we're going to throw so many people out there into not having health insurance. We got Obamacare because how many people didn't have health insurance? 11 million, 12 million. So we have 330 million people in the United States, and because 11 million didn't have health care, suddenly health care became a right. Sort of like Jim Acosta and the press pass for the White House. It became a right. We just plucked a right out of the air as it flitted by. You have a right to health care, really? Well, that's because of your, you know, your right to life and pursuit of happiness and all that. Health care falls in that, really? I didn't see the subtext. So here's the other thing. The Democrats of 2012 don't exist anymore. They have changed. We have socialists in the Democratic Party. We have Islamists in the Democratic Party. They're Democrats in name only. Henceforth, they will be called dinos. And that works. That works. You got to admit, that works there, Chris. So the Democrats, they have problems fundraising, although they had all kinds of money coming in this last time. Where did that come from? Because Hillary Clinton, after she lost to Trump, which was still makes me laugh. After she lost to it, she said that the DNC was broke and that she had to personally infuse funds to keep it going at that particular moment, which I'm sure she had the funds. I mean, you know, the Clinton Foundation, I mean, what they took in, they made bank. So, but they almost elect, if Hillary had not rigged the system, we would have had a Democratic socialist as the Democratic nominee for president in the face of, you know, in the a la Bernie Sanders. Now we have Ocasio-Cortez as a congresswoman in. And I this is the other thing I don't understand. In Arizona, Martha McSally sat on her couch with her little dog and smiled at the camera and said, I hereby concede the race to Kyrsten Sinema. This is an A-10 pilot, an A-10 Thunderbolt pilot, conceding the race to a woman that said, hey, I think it's perfectly okay to join the Taliban and go out there and fight and kill Americans. More gum. So the Republicans didn't lose the House. They deserted it. So don't keep your chins up. It's still a good day. On the text line, Bill Kristol is a mental midget. Now listen, friend. You know that's not politically correct to say mental midget. I do agree with you, though. And then this other one about health care. Good point. Health insurance is what you buy in case you need medical care. That's a good point. They're controlling the gateway to things. But when you're having issues, you're actually seeking medical care. But health care insurance is what you buy in case you need medical care. You have a thought brewing, I can tell.
No, whether I should get into this. I tend to take a different perspective on things. I actually think that people do have a right to health care, and here's why. Because I know what a right is. A right is something that the government cannot prevent you from getting.
Sure.
You have a right to a gun. The government cannot prevent you from having a gun. They've eroded that, you know, in bits and specks over the centuries. But fundamentally, you have a right to that. You have a right to free speech. The government cannot prevent you from having free speech or freedom of religion or a fair trial, things like that. You have a right to health care because the government should not be able to prevent you from getting health care.
Well, let me ask you this, and I don't disagree with anything you just said. But
that doesn't mean they have to give it to you. Well, they just can't prevent you from getting it.
My thing about government is that I look at government as what they're supposed to do is make things optimal for all of those things to occur organically.
I don't
disagree.
And
then they need to get out of the way.
Right.
They don't need to, for example, you're talking about the Second Amendment. Second Amendment has now, this is the funniest part about this election, is that the leftists always wanted the judiciary to decide what laws were instead of the legislative branch. So now we've had the Heller decision, which basically said it's an individual right to keep and bear arms. Keeping means you have them, you own them. Bearing them means you carry them. And yet we don't go through that one verbatim out of the Supreme Court. We do Roe versus Wade, which is now a right to end a unborn life, for example. But when the government, where I draw the line is that when I look at government getting out there and saying, we're going to referee health care. No, you don't need to be involved in that. What you need to do is you need to set up the conditions. It's just like the roads, you know, make the conditions to where I don't tear my car up when I'm driving the roads and get out of my way. Charge me what you'll charge me and get out of my way. But they should not be. This should not be a revenue generating device for government.
No, you're absolutely right there. And the issue that I have is that people have started equivocating the word right and the word entitlement. Really, what they mean frequently when they say you have a right to something is you have an entitlement to something. It's something that the government must provide you, like, you know, the common defense or something like that, that it's something that the government needs to give each person. And that's not what a right is.
Yes, but it's fluid now, though. Everything's fluid now.
Well, and this
including
gets back,
my age.
And yes, including your age. 22. I like that, by the way. I like the idea of just joining the 27 Club, regardless of when you actually.
But here's the thing. Like right now, when you talk about what the government is supposed to do, like
Right. Protect
the border.
Yes.
But now we can't protect the border.
Right.
We got to bring these people in, and you know, That's why I like the fact that Trump sent the military down there, and they're stringing the concertina wire. And trust me, anybody that's going to make it across that border now, these guys are bad individuals. We don't even want to mess with them. They're just bad individuals. But rights are something we're born with.
Would you say they're bad hombres? No.
Well, some of them are Middle Eastern.
Oh, fair enough.
Some of them are Middle Eastern, and a lot of them are, for some reason, I don't look at these guys. This is what these guys are doing that are coming out of Honduras, for example. You got these military age guys going, well, honey, I've decided to go pursue a better life. I'm leaving you and the kids here in Honduras, and I'm going to go take a however long trek it is, and I'm going to go to America. And the next time you and I talk, I will be chewing on a Chick-fil-A sandwich. That's not courageous. That's not courageous at all. But I don't know. That part of it, the whole rights thing. The rights are in the Bill of Rights. We're born with them. They're not up to. I noticed during the Kavanaugh confirmation, they were doing polls to figure out who thought it would be favorable to have Kavanaugh. That's not up to the polls. It's not up to the public. Obama said it. Elections have consequences, leftists. You don't like that I get to appoint the Supreme Court justices? I'm real sorry. Over there's a bottle marked, shut up, take a big swig of it, and sit down. Elections have consequences. We won. I'm just quoting somebody now. That's all I'm doing. I'm just quoting somebody. Anyway, I don't even have time to talk about what I was going to talk about. Do I? But I will say this. I was listening to the thing about the school with the gun that fell out of the book bag. Listen, I don't go to gun-free zones. You shouldn't go to gun-free zones. Nobody should go to gun-free zones. I will tell you why you shouldn't go to gun-free zones. Gun-free zones are the only thing out there with a sign. It's based upon a sign. Now, when I leave here, I will get out there on the new 385, which that's Le Mans Southeast, where the speed limit signs are simply a suggestion. A guideline, if you will. And then I will get out there. And if I'm not doing 80, when I merge, I'm going to be killed. I will die on the road in a fiery wreck. They won't find my car. I will be bowled over by a Kia, and I'm driving an Explorer. And so getting out there and looking at a sign, especially a gun-free zone sign, the idea that you're safe because of a plastic sign is the craziest thing I've ever heard when we don't pay attention to any signs.
I get the impression that nowhere you go is a gun-free zone. Well, as soon as you show up, it's not a gun-free zone anymore.
Let me explain something to you. I'm not going to give it away, okay? I'm not going to give it away. But in South Carolina, the gun-free zone sign has the force of law behind it. However, they have laws they have to adhere to. And I investigate everywhere that has a gun-free zone sign. So if they're not adhering to the law, their gun-free zone sign is not legal. So they can't get out there and say, well, of course, now we're going to bust you and take every right you have, and now you're a felon because you dared to carry a gun in here. That's the thing about South Carolina carriers, where we have no provision for open carry. So everybody has to carry concealed, and you can't print, you can't show, they can't see the outline, they can't see the gun. So if we're doing it correctly, you don't even know. So, when you hear this stuff about what happened to that school, everybody should be taking pause in right now. Because schools and hospitals are the two biggest soft targets that give me the most pause. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. On the text line, Bill the migrant stopped at the Home Depot in Mexico City and bought wire cutters with prepaid credit cards from George Soros. What do we do about that? I guess we'll just have to call out the A-10s. Martha McSally's got nothing to do. She can fly one. She's free right now. Gun-free zones that display the silhouette of a handgun with a red stripe across the pistol doesn't apply to me. None of my pistols have a red stripe painted on them. I've never thought of it in those terms. So let's talk about Florida. Florida right now. Florida. Okay. Let's. I'll play the stupid game. So out of Broward County and what was it, the other, Palm Beach or whatever it was, the other county, whichever counties, the county, apparently there was like a rented Yugo from Rent-A-Wreck, and they found enough provisional ballots that all voted for the Democrats in those boxes to change the election. Everybody thinks it's just the senator and the governor. However, one of the other ones they're trying to steal right now is the agricultural commissioner. Now, right now, everybody's sitting there looking at their dash gun. You said this is going to be about guns, Bill.
That coveted position, the agricultural commissioner.
That is one of my, that's on my bucket list. In addition to staying 27, I want to be the agricultural commissioner of Florida. Anyway, why would anyone steal that election? Why would anybody seek to steal that election? Okay. Well, the Florida agricultural commissioner's post would be a really big victory for the leftists and the progressive push for gun control. Because Florida, the Florida agricultural commissioner, he's the one that regulates and controls things like concealed carry permits, which Florida led the way. They started the whole concealed carry thing back in the 80s. The first state to come out with a shall issue provision was Florida. So, and we get this from some source, I don't know who it is. If it seems unusual for Florida's Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services to handle concealed weapons permits, that's because it is unusual. Nearly every other state gives the job to police or courts. The NRA had lawmakers quietly move the Division of Licensing, which handles the concealed weapons permit program, from the Florida Department of State to the state's Department of Agriculture in 2002, so that the program was answerable to an elected official. Now, at the time, Marion Hammer, who is a former president of the NRA and still clings to relevance, I guess she's trying to be age fluid as well, she got out there and she offered this up as a way of protecting Second Amendment rights of Floridians from a confusing array of county and city gun ordinances. Here in South Carolina, this is all administered by SLED, which SLED is, you know, I don't know any current SLED agents. I do not look at SLED in all honesty and say, well, these guys don't mind me carrying a gun. You know, Johnny Mac Brown, the bastion of all sheriffs that has ever been here. Is he the sheriff right now?
He is indeed.
Yeah. He's never backed concealed carry.
I believe interim sheriff.
I mean,
he is the acting sheriff, yeah. But yes, he is the sheriff.
He's never backed concealed carry. So the fact that you're always looking for something, NRA is looking for an elected official to hold accountable to this. In Broward County, you have to pay a $500 fee. You have to be interviewed by people ranging from a psychologist to a county official and show that you had a dangerous job or had threats to your life and needed to carry a gun. And 40 people had permits prior to shall issue in Broward County. In Duval County, where the restrictions were looser, 10,000 people had, it's a little bit like California, 10,000 people had permits. So the varying patchwork of ordinances was sort of a nuisance because you couldn't travel from county to county. Like what if the people of Duval County, what if all of the outlet malls were in Broward? And they wanted to travel to Broward. So the Department of State handled permitting in 2002, and then they moved it to the agricultural commissioner, which I would – how big is the Florida agricultural scene? What else does he watch over there? I'm professing complete ignorance on this one.
You would guess agriculture.
Yeah, but I don't ever hear about the massive crops coming out of Florida.
No.
All I hear about
other than oranges, I guess.
Okay, maybe there. That and gun permits. So Broward County is where the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting occurred. Even though, and one of the things conveniently ignored about this is that, you know, Nicholas Cruz should have been intercepted and arrested or committed or both well before he ever bought the gun he bought. Everybody knew he was coming. The teachers knew he was coming. The students knew he was coming. He wasn't even allowed to go to school with a backpack. And somehow or other, he got onto school grounds with a gun bag on, which is much larger and longer than a backpack. But, you know, nonetheless, that occurred there. And that also shows that when you're out there, and you don't have a hardened target, which they actually were a hardened target. They had that resource officer who sat outside while the shooting was happening inside, and he said, I'll set up a defensive perimeter. He won't go any further than here. But it's about guns, because they want to restrict it state by state, and this is a way to do it, the shortcut, in Florida, if you will. Hey, listen, we're going to flip to the next hour. We'll be right back. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.